Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. This morning we have with us Vice Chairwoman Judy C. Mao. She is the Vice Chairwoman of the Florida Democrat Party. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Angela. How are you?
Okay. All right, I'm fine. I'm fine. It's good to have you on Show Talk with Angela Butler.
Well, thank you so much for asking me, and I so appreciate, I'm honored that you would call and ask me.
I'm just happy you came on the show this morning. We have a string of listeners, so we're going to go straight into the questions. So,
okay.
One of my first questions would be, how did you get your start in politics?
Well, and it sounds kind of corny, but when I was about 16 or 17, I started working on local campaigns and helping with that because my family has always been very influential with working with campaigns and getting people elected in our area. And it's just kind of and then when I became 18, I was so excited that day because I was at attending Chipola Junior College at the time. And you would think that I would be more excited at that point in my life about being able to become legal and do wild and crazy things like drink at 18. But I was very excited about getting my voter's card because I knew from experience working on campaigns and involvement with the church and community, even at an early age, I knew that you have to be a voter in order to have a voice. When you're petitioning out, you know, you're out petitioning and you're trying to relate to the candidates, and if you're, you know, you don't like something that someone is doing, you know, if you're a registered voter, that's your first level of having a voice. And I also, I'm a firm believer that if you don't vote, you don't have a voice.
Okay, I believe that also. I was taught that by my mother. Okay, what is your educational background?
I attended Chipola Junior College, and my major there was journalism, mass communication, but I did not get a degree. How I have accomplished what I have accomplished, and I give, and I'm not being funny once again, I give God all the praise and all the glory, because I possess something that very few people have. And it's, number one, it's the love for the little man and my fellow man. And it's my willingness to get out and stand up for what I believe in. I'm a very boisterous person. If I like it, you'll know it. If I don't like it, you'll know it. And that is known nationwide. And also, I have a great personality. I'm a people person. So I have been able to maneuver and get things accomplished without the norm of having a degree.
Okay. I also do not have a degree and a college degree.
Right.
I also went to Chipola College. I went for a little less than a year and a half, and I got close to 30 credits. Hours,
mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I don't have a degree either, but that's not to say that college, you know, people shouldn't go to college, but
correct.
I'm just saying I personally do not have one.
Correct.
Okay, why the Democratic Party? Why not the Independent Party, the Republican Party? Why the Democratic Party?
Well, first of all, just like everybody else, most people choose the political parties according to the homes they were raised in, their upbringing and you know, that sort of thing. Very few people go back and reevaluate their beliefs in conjunction to the parties. Right now, I'm glad that I was raised in a Democratic household because I really do share the fundamentals of the Democratic Party. I respect and look out for the other man as much as possible. But whenever you're able to achieve and do on your own, I expect you to fly away like the great eagle and handle it on your own. And that basically is the, I would say, is the strongest fundamental of the Democratic Party, is to help and look out for the little man. And as soon as you have accomplished it, you've received your help, and you have outgrown your help, and you've progressed, and you moved on in life, and you've advanced, then you move out into the community and you, you know, return the favor. You help someone, you incorporate it, and you move on, and you try to, you know, fly away using your own wing power.
All right. As I've said earlier, as I told my listeners, Ms. Mount, you're the vice chairwoman of the Florida Democrat Party. But what other positions have you held in your career?
I am the first black female elected official in Jackson County, Florida. I was a city commissioner for the town of Malone. And after that, you know, that was pretty much my entrance into the quote-unquote political world, you know, as being an active person obtaining elected official status. After that, I took some time off. I ran for mayor in Malone, and, you know, I did not achieve that. So after that, I had to go through a learning process, me and the good Lord. I'm like, okay, you know, I was groomed for this job. I was supposed to be the mayor of my hometown. And, you know, I really had a hard time because I believed that I had done so much for my hometown, and I could not believe that they had disappointed me or let me down. But, you know, the Bible says, don't put your trust in man, put your trust in God. And after I learned my lesson, then what I realized was actually that work would have been too small for me because I'm very passionate. I'm very passionate about what I do. And so I moved to Marianna, and I started to work in Tallahassee. And then that gave me a little closer to be in proximity of the state government. And as I advanced, I moved on. I worked in the governor's office for a while. I worked for Children and Families for a while. And this was on the employment side, which now I am employed by the Florida House of Representatives, and I have been for 9 years. On the outside, in my community, in my free time, I started working with the Florida Democratic, with the Jackson County Democratic Party here. Because of my involvement in Tallahassee. And when I got involved here, I went in as vice chairperson, and also a gift is fundraising. And at that particular time, Jackson County didn't have a way of doing the level of fundraising that is needed to keep the party alive. And so then I got to know all the, and I'm the kind of person that if I get involved with something, I'm definitely going to get it 100%. So when I got involved with the county party here, then I started getting involved and working with the state party and getting to know all the rules and the bylaws and getting to know, you know, everything that I needed to know. And like I said, I always take an active part in whatever I'm doing. And so, you know, I started doing more stuff, and then I ran for chair here in Jackson County, and I got that, and we started working more, and it was always my intention was to bring Jackson County into the new millennium. This area, Northwest Florida, is shunned by most politicians, because we tend to be looked at as in another era, is a good way of putting it. We're a little bit behind. And so I wanted to bring Jackson County up to par, and that's what I've done all this time. I brought in politicians to the area that would, you know, that had, you know, just basically stopped visiting or communicating with the panhandle. And I've had a lot of fundraisers here, brought in people from statewide. In the 2010 election cycle, every Democratic candidate on our roster came to visit Jackson County. We've just really gotten more active, and we're really doing more things. And I'm proud to say that. And in the process of me getting to do these, the things that I've told you about, I started working with the Small County Coalition, and that is all of, just what it says, all of the small counties in the Florida Democratic Party. And I'm on the board of directors for that.
Okay.
Also, we have what's called the second congressional district. Every congressional district has a chairperson, and the chairperson basically is the overseer of the counties that are, you know, within that congressional district. I am your congressional two chairperson, and in that title, I have 16 counties under my supervision, and that I work with, and you know, have them get everything taken care of, and make sure everything is pulled together. And then it was after I worked with those two areas for a while, the former chair of the Florida Democratic Party, Congresswoman Karen Thurman, asked me to serve as an appointed vice chair. And I thought that was an honor because the previous individual that had the position was Congresswoman Carrie Meeks. And I was informed by Karen that when she called around to ask for a recommendation, that the Congresswoman immediately said, yes, I would support that, because we've had an eye on Judy, and, you know, she is advancing, and, you know, we think that she would be a great person. And so when I got the phone call, I was so excited. I was like, oh, my God, you know, because when you're doing work, something that you love, you know,
yes,
moving and grooving and doing what you like to do, you don't look at it so much as work. It's like, and so I was going across the state, and I never realized that people were actually aware of what I was doing. Because to hear something amusing right now, the people here in Jackson County, most of them know that I do something for the Florida Democratic Party, but they have no idea what I do. And as I serve as a vice chairwoman of the Florida Democratic Party, that puts me on a national level. Whereas,
yes,
when Florida goes in to sit down with the Democratic National Committee, and or we have events, or we're working, you know, with the DNC or with the president or whatever it is, that gives me a seat in the table. And not to toot my own horn, I thank God for the blessing. But how many people do you know from Northwest Florida has a seat at the table on either side of either party that, you know, that, and that to me is phenomenal. And so I don't know any,
and that's phenomenal.
I don't take it for granted, and every day when I'm doing stuff and when I look around and I meet these people and talking to the president and the first lady, which I met both of them on several occasions, you know, you kind of want to pinch yourself and you want to say, okay, God, what, you know, how did I do this? Because if you look at the odds of me being able to do and accomplish what I have done and accomplished with God's help, you would know that that would have to be the person that I talked to. Would
yes.
be him.
Yes.
Because I see me working in politics. I take my job just as serious as a minister does his calling for working in the church. Because, you know, the Bible says my people shall fail for a lack of what? Knowledge. And I feel like the good Lord put me in place to give the people, his people, the knowledge. And if they can't accept the knowledge, I'm here making the sacrifice to fight for them.
Okay. My next question would be, where were you when President Barack Obama was elected? So you tonight, you found out that he had became President of the United States of America.
Now, Angela, you are trying to make me get goosebumps and trying to make me get emotional here. But anyway, we had the Jackson County Democratic Party. We have a get-together that starts, you know, early afternoon so that people, once they have voted and they want to, you know, watch the returns and everything, we have computers and televisions and stuff set up so we can have our get-together. And we provide, you know, food and everything for the general public. Well, we had, I think everybody, we have found out that everybody, all the centers, everything had turned in their voter numbers, the results and everything. And I hadn't even had time really to replenish what we had put out, what we were serving. And I remember I was greeting someone at the door, and I had a bag of chips in my hand. And like I said, I was about to replenish some things we had put out. And I heard everybody in the room just start screaming. And everybody was like hugging and everything. And I have to pause because when I'm speaking about my president and the experience that I have dealt with him and seeing him come from being elected in 08 up until now, I get very emotional. But I remember exactly what I did. I turned around and I looked, and everybody, it was like two or three people were running towards me with their arms out, and they were saying, "He did it, he did it, we won, we won." And I was like, oh, my God. And all I could do at that particular point was just drop to my knees. And thank God, because I knew that I was witnessing a historical event and a divine intervention of great magnitude. And to feel those two emotions at one time, if you are a Christian and you were a Democrat at that particular time, do you realize how many praises and thank yous went up to God at that particular moment? Because nobody could have done that but him. I remember very well, and I will never forget. I will never forget. And it was a very powerful moment, too, because I had just attended, I think it was in August, late August, early September, I had just attended the National Convention in Denver. And it was my first national convention. But since it was President Barack Obama, and I do need for people to remember that he does have a title. He is the President of the United States. Not, his name is not Obama. It's President Obama. When we put him into the official nomination as the Democratic choice, the Democratic nominee to become president. And after that, that was also very emotional, and it was a very heart-wrenching time. It was just awesome. I think I cried for 4 days because the event was it was just divine. And to experience and see all that firsthand, to me, that was history. When he was put into nomination, because what a lot of people don't understand is you're not put into nomination, you can't be the candidate. So all of that, you know, all of that, I'm just really, I love my president.
Okay. Now, we talked about how you felt about President Barack Obama, and tonight he was elected. Now, it's been 40, almost 4 years later. What is your opinion of First Lady Michelle Obama, the president's wife, President Barack Obama's wife?
I have so much respect for her. And I told her when she was last time she was in Tallahassee and we talked, I told her, I said, you know, it's almost, you represent so much. Not only are you the First Lady of the United States, you are our, and when I say our, I'm saying the African American community. She's our queen. And
yes,
she's a great role model. She's gorgeous. She's absolutely gorgeous. When we were in Panama City, she spoke on at the beach down when the oil spilled. She came to, down there during that time. And I was actually sitting there, and I looked her from her head to her toe, and I tried to find something because, you know, I already thought she was the most beautiful thing that you've ever seen, and I love the way she dressed. She's a class act. She carries herself so well, and she is a gorgeous woman, and she has a very good sense of humor. Both of them have an uncanny ability when they're talking to you to make you feel like everybody else in the world has left. That is just, they are so focused on the individual when they're talking to them. You feel like, oh, my God, you know. And she's just a wonderful person, but to be able to carry that load, because he carries the world, the free world, the worries, the cares, and everything of the free world on his back in the position that he has. She carries not only the load as a successful black female, she carries the load as a mother and trying to keep the normality with her kids. She carries the weight of her husband having to deal with the weight of the free world. Because, you know, in his moments to relax, what do you do when your husband has that much pressure on you, and he's still trying to juggle, and you're juggling, and it, you are, and the people are so, and the way the some people speak ill of them, and the way they criticize these people, and the way they are constantly doing things to try and sabotage everything that he's done.
Yes.
Can you imagine? You can't sleep good at night.
No.
And you know when, and any woman, any person that has a mate, male or female, when your mate is not feeling well or is being abused or can't sleep or whatever, it really takes a toll on you. It bothers you because it's almost like sympathy pains. You know, you don't understand what I'm saying? I'm sure you
do. Yes, I do.
But that's why, because to me, she carries just as much weight as he does. And I think it's great that she constantly shows America that she's not above, that her, the area that she wants to contribute back to America as First Lady, which is the health mode, the healthy eating, the exercising for everyone, but especially children. Child obesity is just, I mean, you know, it's just, that's her thing. And I like the fact that when she goes out, she's comfortable enough with herself where she can wear tennis shoes if she feels like it. She can wear a designer gown if they're making an appearance with the elect of another country, kings, queens, prime ministers, however, she is an all-around woman. She's a 10. As the song that was quite quite descriptive. I love her because she is every woman.
Yes.
She's every woman.
Yes, she is. Yes, she's definitely beautiful, and it's obvious, very obvious by her educational background, the way she speaks, that she is very, very intelligent. All right, we're going to have to pay some bills here. We're going to take a small break, and we're going to come back and talk to Vice Chairwoman, the Florida Democratic Party, Ms. Judy C. Mount. All right. Listeners, I'd like to say that this show is sponsored by Dobine and Cowan's Mortgage Investments. Listeners, don't forget to contact Dobine and Cowan's Mortgage Investments. This company can handle all of your commercial finances needs. So contact them at 678-607-5092 and allow them to handle your commercial needs, commercial financing. The website is http://, Dobine, Cowan, COWINS.WEBS.com. And tell them that Show Talk with Angela Butler sent you. All right, next we also have April Smith Holt. She is the CEO of Butterfly Cosmetics. Her website is www.butterflycosmetics.com. I call her the next Mary Kay. She's also, as far as I know, hiring representatives. Look up April Smith Holt at Butterfly Cosmetics, www.butterflycosmetics.com.
And risk use is defined by statute as a child under the age of 18 who meets at least one of the following three requirements: is absent from home for at least 70 consecutive hours without parental consent, or is beyond parental control such that his/her behavior endangers the health, safety, or welfare of the child or any other person, has a substance abuse problem for which there are no pending criminal charges relating to the substance abuse. At Camp Penny, we have found that at-risk youth struggles with complex issues and scenarios that are brought on by peers, mentors, family members, and difficult social environments. Camp Penny understands the increased complexity of today's at-risk youth as on parents. Camp Penny works with nonprofits and federal agencies to find solutions. Today's youth are exposed to a variety of negatives, making them more at risk to injury, academic failure, and poor health. Teens who are likely to be more at risk are usually those that do not have a strong support system at home and in the community, as well as teens who are not coping well with the different challenges that they are facing. So what sorts of programs will Camp Penny have? Camp Penny will provide outdoor activities as a main feature of the camp. There is no sitting around getting bored at Camp Penny. The girls will eat a well-balanced and healthy diet, then get outside for some well-planned and highly beneficial programs. Just the Camp Penny location is a real boost for our children. The beauty of nature may not have previously registered with many city-bound kids. Out in the wilderness, the teens get to commune with nature, observe the wildlife, and tackle challenging physical tasks that will build their self-confidence and their muscles. If you would like to help or become a volunteer of the Camp Penny project, please contact us at client@camppenny.org. Let's save our daughters.
All right, listeners, we have with us this morning Vice Chairwoman of the Florida Democrat Party, Ms. Judy C. Mount. We're going to go back into our questions, and thank you all for listening. Ms. Mount.
I'm here.
How do you feel about the Republican Party, in your opinion? What are your feelings towards the Republican Party and things like that? How do you feel about them and the things they have been doing?
Everybody works for and works with and try to achieve things for groups or individuals that they believe in. And, you know, everybody has that right to do so. And, you know, they're going to do whatever it takes and whatever they're wanting to do to support their candidates. But here in Jackson County, one good thing I can say is that I have some, I know it sounds like the old cliche where I do have some Republican friends, and they're people that I've known for very, very, very long time, and they have their beliefs, I have mine. And right now, the Republicans are in control of the Florida legislature, and that is where I work.
Okay. All right. Thank you for answering that. How do you feel about the propaganda of the Republican Party that the Democratic Party takes Black Americans for granted?
I agree somewhat because there are things that you have to look at, and I'm a realist. I'm a realist. What has happened, I feel, over the years is that it's always assumed that African Americans will vote Democrat, so people tend not to feel like they don't have to do as much work to court us. You have to get, it's kind of like a shepherd. The sheep that are in the fence they're not the ones that you pay the attention to.
Okay.
It's the one that has gotten outside of the fence and is roaming around out there. You know? And history shows that most African Americans vote Democrat, and so therefore, at the end of the day, I feel like people think that they just don't have to push our issues, that our issues should not be, you know, that it's automatically assumed that the issues are going to be addressed, which is not. And I just, you know, I really do, I believe that somewhat. But I also believe that the Republicans would take African-Americans for granted as well. I think political groups, all of them, I think take African-Americans for granted, not just the Democrats. I think people try to focus it, make it seem like we do, the Democratic Party, because we are the Democratic Party. You understand
yes.
what I'm saying? It sounds,
yes.
yeah, but you understand what I'm saying. Everybody takes African Americans for granted. And I think the reason that is, too, is because if you look back at statistics, African Americans, when we were fighting to get our civil rights and going through all of the hardships that our ancestors endured to get to this point, we were on top of our game. We were out in the community. We were looking out for each other. And on top of that, we were trying to make sure that because we didn't have these certain unalienable rights, you know what I'm saying? We couldn't vote when we were trying to earn that right, when we were trying to get schools integrated so that everybody could have the same level of education, when we were doing, and our ancestors was doing all of that. Everybody was working more together and was trying to accomplish that goal of making sure that we all went forward. However,
okay.
through the changes of society, I feel like that the African-American community takes itself and candidates as well. I think they just really, you know, it's kind of like a both sides kind of thing. I think the African-American voter should get back on top of their game and make sure when crazy laws are put into existence that says you got to have a voter ID, you got to have this, you got to have that, everything that they're trying to do with this voter suppression that's going on right now, get on top of the game. Yeah, don't stop and argue. get on top of the game. We can argue later. Right now we have to stand up. We have to meet the challenge. I feel like every area that we should have kept ourselves as the leading minority in the country, and we could have had a better say-so in everything, and no party would have been able to take us for granted.
Okay. All right, thank you for answering that question. In Florida, what do you think about the Florida voter law that was recently overturned? Where they, you know the law I'm speaking of?
The voter suppression.
Yeah, the Florida voter law where they were trying to keep people from voting, saying mm-hmm. they were not citizens. They had to prove that they were citizens of Florida and of the United States. What do you think about the Florida voter law that was recently overturned?
I think that it was wrong. I think that there should be an upgraded something that we can use to put information in that would automatically let the person know you have, because you know, there is some purging that goes on in the county, on the county level. I think if you haven't voted in 3 or 4 elections, you know, once you vote, it's just not automatically. You have to vote in order to continually be on the list, on the voters list. So, but I think the average person, yes, you will have some people that do not think like the average person. But the average person knows that if you're legal here in the United States, if you're an American citizen, or you wouldn't go to the polls to vote unless you knew that you had registered to vote. I talk to people every day, and when I get started on pitches, they'll say, well, Miss Judy, I'm not registered to vote. I'm a felon. Or, Miss Judy, I'm not registered to vote. I've never, you know, transferred. I've never registered in this county. I mean, people know, and I think that the average person, if they're not able to vote or legal to vote, qualified, certified to vote in the state of Florida, why would they go and attempt to vote?
Okay.
Which would really kind of lead you to believe that this was done due to the fact that the voter suppression law is geared toward minorities, which in Florida we're looking at African American and Hispanic community, and those were the areas that our president was very successful in 08.
Right.
So it would tend to make you think that, you know, people were trying to cut back on some of the people that would naturally be voting for the president.
Yes.
Now,
it really does.
That is Judy Mount's opinion.
Yes. Yes. Okay, yes, that's my opinion, too. That's my opinion, too. As you know, the American Health Care Act was upheld by the Supreme Court. What
mm-hmm.
is your opinion of the American Health Care Act?
First of all, I love the idea that out of all the laws, and this is a three-part answer, of all the areas that the government covers, I like this, as the people call it, Obamacare, because it was the one that I think the president looked to do personally because of the experience that happened with his mom. and him not being able to help her. As
yes.
a child, as a child, we all know every child would want to cure or help, make, if their parent, if they couldn't cure the parent, they would definitely want to be able to help them to have their life, you know, extended and the quality of life during such a terrible illness.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, for the listeners, I like to explain a little bit about that, what you're saying. I hope I'm correct in what I'm saying. The President Barack Obama's mother had to fight the insurance companies while she was trying to get well, I believe, from cancer. Am I correct?
You're correct.
Okay. Yes. Listeners, that's what Ms. Vice Chairwoman of the Florida Democratic Party, Ms. Judy C. Mowley, is talking about. Okay. So
Okay. Yeah. And so I like that. I admire that because, you know, I can see him at the end of the day saying, you know, okay, Mom, your suffering was not in vain. And, you know, I've done this with, you know, everything. But then he's also showing how much sympathy and empathy he has for the rest of America. He doesn't want anybody else to be caught in that. Now, with the with everything that's going on and people are staying in school longer, kids now are going from bachelor degrees immediately, you know, going on to get their master's degrees, immediately going on to get their doctorate degrees to try and be able to excel, you know, when they get ready to go out and get employment. So I really like the part because I had a personal experience with that. My daughter, and I think it's, you know, when your kids can stay on until they're 26, I think that was a great thing, too.
Okay.
And I have several doctors, my physician, which is one reason why he is my physician. When I talk to people on a personal basis and doctors are willing to say that this is a good thing and it's people that I trust with my life, my physician, and, you know, they say that, you know, it's a good thing, then I respect that. But on the other hand, this is why I know that something I don't understand. I'm just baffled. I'll put it like that. Now, if Congress has got the best health insurance there is, and these people work, mind you, work for the people, the American citizen. You know, that's who pays Congress salaries.
Yes,
would you let your employee have better insurance than you, and you own the company?
Yes.
That's what we do. We let Congress have better insurance than we do. And on top of that, and then we need to go on to another subject. The main thing is, do a survey and ask the people in Congress how many of them have read the whole bill.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Do a survey. Okay. I hear you, Ms. Mount.
Okay.
Okay. What is the Democrat Party doing here in Florida to help to have more support for the president in the upcoming election and the other offices, other political offices that people are running for? Whoa.
Okay. In the when people are running on the local level and municipal and local is your city and county governments, you know, at the end of the day, if there are two or more Democratic candidates running for the same office, we sign a loyalty oath that you cannot support one Democrat over another. So we don't do any endorsements. We don't do any outwardly campaigning until it's the primary is over and it's a Republican facing one Democrat. And then we, you know, we give it all we got. And, you know, but thank God, local and municipal, local politics is nothing like on the state level. Now, on the state level, where you have your state representatives, your state senators, and you have your governor and cabinet, you get into a whole different level of politicking.
Okay.
Money right. Now, financing now is the big thing. So still keeping in with the same law that bylaw that I just told you about, there is a part of the Florida Democratic Party that is known as House Victory. It is the fundraising backbone of the Democratic candidates that are running for the Florida House of Representatives. We also have a department that's known as Senate Victory, and it does the same thing with the Florida Senate. Now, usually when you get on to the cabinet members, that's more or less individual as to, you know, what office is running. Naturally, if it's somebody running for governor or, you know, once the one person get in there, we will come to the aid of that person full force.
Okay.
And then with the president, there is a division here in Florida, and it's called OFA. And it is it's Organizing for America and Obama for America, and that is the fundraising policy for Obama, President Obama. It's the nucleus for the state of Florida. It's what the Democratic National Committee, as well as the National Campaign of OFA, they send all of the instructions, the work that has to be done, and everything down to OFA in Florida.
Okay. OFA.
And now what they've done, they've divided it up, and we have what's called field directors, political directors. We have the volunteers for the campaign. We have people that are working for the campaign. Everything is in place. And I think right now it's most of the counties actually do have an OFA office set up, which would be the headquarters for the reelection campaign of President Barack Obama.
Okay. All right. Thank you for answering that question. The Democrat Party is definitely showing a lot of support for the president here in Florida. But you've answered that question more than answered that question. I just have another question, not exactly a question, well, it is a question. Florida has been a majority Republican state. What is the Democrat Party doing to change this?
Well, actually, a lot of, if you go county by county, then that would be more where you can have more of an influence, because local people, talking to local people, and people knowing, you know, what you believe in and how you believe and what you work towards, and people that respect you and want to listen to you and observe what you do.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, then that to me is more connecting than just trying to look at the numbers. But also, a lot of times it's kind of misleading. Excuse me, it's kind of misleading because, like in Jackson County, Democrats way outnumber Republicans. And until you get to the state level, Democrats always win. Once you get to the state level, for some reason, people in the rural Northwest Florida area turn around and they vote for Republicans to lead on the state and national level. And that's really, and you have people that jump back and forth from party back to, from Democrat to Republican, Democrat to Republican, Republican to Democrat, in order to either run for office and you know, looking at the statistics and the numbers. Or it's someone that they really admire. They could be, you got a lot of people, associates, whatever, friends out there that are Democrats. But if they're friends with John Doe, and John Doe decides he wants to run for sheriff, and John Doe is a Republican, you have people that will switch parties just to be able to support, and that works both ways now, that you have people that switch parties so that they can vote for the person. Now, me, myself, and I, all three of us, will always be a Democrat.
Okay.
Now,
all right.
I'm not, and I'm not, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying if there was a major issue that came out, because I think a lot of people don't, they don't really know what their party is about. They go with who's the popular people. The most influential people are in what area, you know, in what party, then that's where they go. But I just, you know, I just feel like that with sometimes the numbers, as with everything, polls, statistics, I don't even listen to polls anymore because it's just crazy how people can manipulate numbers. You can get a poll to tell you anything you want. I go by the last number standing.
Okay.
And right. Yes, and yes, Florida appears to be, you know, a red, heavily red state. But actually, I don't think it's that heavily red. And I don't think if you go back and check, I don't think that the numbers are that much different.
Okay. So what you're saying is Florida is not a mostly Republican, majority Republican state, because on the local levels, most of the Democrats are winning. Is that what you're saying, Ms. Mount?
Pretty much, but let me maybe I should go into a little bit further. When you get the numbers, and we're just going to, these are hypothetical numbers. If they say there are 20 Republicans in the state of Florida and 5 Democrats, when was that? I need to know when was that and what was going on.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? Circumstances,
yes, ma'am,
can manipulate your numbers.
Manipulation of numbers. Okay, I understand what you're saying.
Right, right. And it's the same way. The same.
Like it's maybe it's meant to make it seem like Florida is a mostly Republican state. I understand.
Right, and the same way, and the same way on the Democratic side. If I employ a Democrat or a Republican to do a survey, and I'm a Democrat, what you think gonna happen at the end results? What do you think the end results gonna be?
All right.
That's why, you know, and that's just what I'm saying. I'm not comfortable with that. And I believe people change the way they vote according to the issue. Most people vote with what they feel good with.
Yes. Yes, that is true. That is true. As a woman in your position, what thoughts or advice would you like to leave to the youth?
I need, and this is a very good question, and I'm glad it is our final question, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Is this our final question? Okay. I need for the youth.
Unless there's anything you'd like to add, is the final question.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I need for the youth to seriously, when you start studying history, even in your home, and when your friends are talking, if you go to the library, if you're watching a movie, however you're getting it, teenagers, you need to start paying more attention to the history of this country. and how this country and what principles, laws, and everything it was organized on, they need to be aware from 1492 to 2012 of everything that has gone, that has taken place. They need to get back into history, because our history, the principles, the rules, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, everything that when we were younger that we took for granted because we had to learn that the preamble to the Constitution in civics class, and we thought that all of this was so not interesting. But our history, and I want to, people to understand, I need for you to listen. I need for you to listen with your ears, but more with your heart. Because our history is our future. Where we have been will definitely determine where we're going. I need for them to get serious and know that they need to keep up with, they need to look at the news, they need to keep themselves abreast, they need to learn to make sure they're up on everything, because if it's youth now and it's affecting them, that means the youth now will be adults in just a few days, which means the burden is going to fall on them to keep the country running. You see where we've been, that should determine where we're going.
Yes.
And I need for them to know, people say, don't mix politics and church. You better think about that, because politics is involved with every aspect of our lives.
Yes.
It's involved with central and Eastern, the daylight savings time, that was a law. That's politics. You getting up going to work,
church.
Right? you getting up going to work every day, paying taxes. That's politics. That's involved with the government. If you're unemployed and you're going through the process and you're on public assistance, and whatever, however you're getting through today to make and survive, have a means of survival for you and your family, that's political. You coming home in the afternoon, turning on your television, cooking your dinner in the microwave, on the stove, whatever you're doing, that is political, because guess what? The legislature passes the laws and the Public Service Commission passes the laws that determine what the electric company can bill you for and how much they can bill you for.
That's
correct. At night, and when you go in there and turn on your shower and get your bath and bathe your kids and settle in and drink water and make Kool-Aid and make ice, your water, the water situation, we have an element, a political element in the governmental area that takes care and it makes rules and regulations concerning your water.
Yes.
Your cars, the loans that you get, the interest rate. I mean, because, you know, there are laws now out there on the book for some of
That's
us that are poor. For some of us that are poor, when you have to go to these emergency check loan writing places where they hold your check until the next payday, these payday loans, there is actually a law passed that says they can't charge you but X number of interest. That's a law. It was passed. That is political. But the bottom line to that is, also I tell pastors when I speak, if I need for you to get your people involved, Because the best thing for you to know is that if you have X number of state workers in your church, none of them got a raise in 5 or 6 years, and then they got a pay cut of 3%. The Bible said you're supposed to give God 10% of your earnings. Well, guess what, Pastor? Your earnings just went down. Angela?
Yes. Yes,
Angela?
Ma'am.
I appreciate you asking me to do this interview. I appreciate the listeners that thought it not robbery to take the time to listen to the show. And I would definitely love for you to ask me to come back later in the game as we get closer and closer to November the 6th.
I would love to do that.
Okay.
I thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler, Vice Chairman Judy C. Miles, Ms. Judy C. Miles. I thank you very much for coming on the show.
Okay, and thank you again for asking me. I really enjoyed it, and there's nothing that I love doing more than talking politics, and I love the Democratic Party. I love my president, and I wish President Barack Obama victory and success on his reelection, as well as all Democratic candidates for Congress. I wish my U.S. Senator Bill Nelson, who is a he is an original, I believe Chipley. He has some connections to the Chipley area.
Yes, he does. And I believe he lives here by his family.
Yes. Yeah, and he never lets me forget that. Wherever I see him, he said, we have this inside joke thing. I say, Mariana, and he says, Chipley.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, but I wish him well. And on behalf of the Florida Democratic Party, let me tell Northwest Florida, the area where this is being broadcast, go Big Blue.
So Big Blue. Okay. All right. Northwest Florida. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Vice Chairwoman, Ms. Judy C. Mao. Thank you very much for that.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Listeners, we've had with us this morning, as I've said continuously throughout the show, Vice Chairwoman of Florida, Ms. Judy C. Mao. She's a very intelligent caller, so... and a very influential caller, guest. All right. Listeners, I'd like to say that this show is sponsored by Dobine and Collins Mortgage Investments. Listeners, don't forget to contact Dobine and Collins Mortgage Investments. This company can handle all your commercial financing needs. So contact them at 678-607-5092 and allow them to handle your commercial financing needs. Their website is http://.dobyne, D-O-B-Y-N-E, Cowins, COWINS.WEBS.com. Let this company handle your commercial financing needs and tell them that Show Talk with Angela Butler sent you. Again, that is Dobyne and Cowins, DobyneCowins Mortgage Investments. The phone number is 678-607-5092. Allow them to handle your commercial financing needs. The website again is http://dobynecowins.webs.com. Thank you, listeners, for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I've enjoyed you all this morning. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Goodbye, everyone.